Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here for a special live episode of the Freedom Report podcast here on Facebook. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening to this later on the Freedom Report podcast, you can always listen to my live streams that we cut and put into the Freedom Report podcast over at my Facebook page, facebook.com/AP for Liberty. Thanks so much for coming in to talk about a topic that is fresh on my mind. It's a big issue. It's one of those dense philosophical topics that we have to get into from time to time as libertarians. And it's one of those that doesn't have the kind of broad mainstream appeal to most regular folks. This is teaching to the A students. If you heard me teaching to the D students the other day on the radio, trying to explain victimless crimes, well, then this and you are getting as frustrated as I was, then you should enjoy this because this is for the thinkers. Jim Antle at the Washington Examiner has written a piece about Rand Paul and Lindsey Graham in the age of Trump and the sort of assumptions that we have to make regarding their foreign policy and how it is being implemented. Of course, compared to the Trump policy, I think most people would say that Senator Rand Paul has been vindicated. Trump has had to take shots at Lindsey Graham over the decision that he's made to defend himself, to about the decision that he's made to remove troops from Syria, about 4,000 troops. And I wanted to discuss this piece with my audience simply because tomorrow morning I'm going to have Jim Antle on another radio show. I'm going to be hosting Gary Nolan's show on 93.9 The Eagle in Columbia, Columbia, Missouri, for those who are out of state. And that'll be from 9 a.m. to noon. Tomorrow I'll be filling in for Gary Nolan. But I want to make sure that everybody who's really interested in these topics gets a chance to do a deep dive, because we're not going to be able to discuss this entire piece tomorrow morning on the radio. We're just going to be able to get a few sound bites, unfortunately, from Jim, because that's how radio segments work. So right now I'm going to read to you from this piece, and it is quite long, and then I am going to get in my car, grab my bag, and I'm going to drive to Columbia, Missouri. So if you get a chance, please tune in tomorrow morning so that you can hear Jim Antle's thoughts as I ask him questions about this piece. And of course, since this is live, again, sorry if you're listening later, but since it is live, you can go ahead and jump on and drop questions below, and we can have a discussion while we're reading this piece. Congressional Republicans will defer to President Trump on many things, but on foreign policy, they are more willing to assert themselves. That's been clear in the aftermath of Trump's announced withdrawal from Syria and the resignation of Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. But a more subtle sign of the president's loose grip on lawmakers was the emergence of an unlikely alliance against him that has been described by one of his participants as a sign of the, quote, end times. Senator Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul represent opposite poles of the GOP foreign policy spectrum. Graham is hawkish, insisting that if we do not fight America's enemies over there, we will instead face them over here. Paul is a skeptic of military intervention, especially in the Middle East, who argues that the U.S. is fighting too many wars with too little congressional authorization. On Saudi Arabia, the two of them are united. They want to punish Riyadh for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi and are exasperated by the president's unwillingness to confront Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. Trump wants to continue to have a close relationship with the Saudi regime, which he views as an important counterweight to Iranian influence in the region. Normally, the two senators are more likely to be hurling insults at each other than collaborating. Paul has called Graham a warmonger and a danger to national security. Graham rips the junior senator from Kentucky as an isolationist, saying in 2018, there is no threat to America that Senator Paul will not retreat from. You are all familiar with that old tired trope. What's interesting about the isolationist attack is that many of the Trump people are truly isolationists, whereas the reality is that what Graham is doing is he's conflating the non-interventionists like ourselves, libertarians, with the true isolationists that want to clamp down on foreign trade, who want to build a wall. Built like the people who are for putting up tariffs, the people who are for a wall, and the people who want to pull out from Syria, you could broadly characterize them as isolationists. But of course, this was what was leveled at Ron Paul. It was never true of Ron Paul. It was more true of people like, you know, perhaps, I guess I wouldn't say Pat Buchanan, but people who follow Pat Buchanan, the paleo conservatives, right? Again, this is teaching to the A students, folks, and this is a live stream. So if this is not your thing, just we can talk about other things later. But right now, I really want to focus in on this because right now, what's happening is this power struggle where they're calling end times. This power struggle is quite an opportunity for libertarians and for the more dovish of us on foreign policy, people who want to, you know, bring the troops home, this, I think, may be our opportunity here. Now, 2020 is shaping up to be an interesting matchup. I'm editorializing now. I'll get back to Jim Antle in a moment. 2020 is shaping up to be an interesting moment, right? We had the Tea Party years for the Libertarians, for where we had the conservatives and libertarians working together. And then, of course, the conservatives veered off into populism and went anti-immigrant and went nativist rather than to stick to the tax issues, Obamacare issues, and the other, what were some of the others? Tax enough already. You know, the Tea Party broadly united conservatives and libertarians. Unfortunately, the new Trump movement is exclusive to libertarians in many ways simply because of the isolationist and native viewpoints. But I think that the libertarians may have an upper hand in, you know, coming into 2020, and here's how it may come. Let's get back to Jim Antle. Yet on consequences for the Saudis, they are united, Graham and Paul. We're finding common purpose and fighting back against a behavior that's so out of the norm and it can't be ignored, Graham told McClatchy News. The two aren't meeting in the middle so much as Graham is finding himself more comfortable on Paul's turf. Now, that's a strange sentence to read, because if you think about it, if Graham is finding himself comfortable on Rand Paul's turf, what does that mean? Well, he says, Senator Paul has been consistent in his opposition to Saudi Arabia's flagrant human rights violations and willingness to spread a radical ideology, a Paul spokesman told the Washington Examiner. His opposition predates President Trump. In fact, he pushed to cut off arms to the Saudis under President Barack Obama, too. We welcome anyone who has genuinely evolved on the dangers which Saudi Arabia presents the world. Now, isn't that interesting? You know, the funny thing about someone who is a principled libertarian or a classical liberal, you know, if you're in government in such a way, you're going to do the right thing no matter who the president is. And people, I think, sometimes just assume or they act shocked when you call out somebody of your own party. But then, of course, when Barack Obama was the president, if Rand Paul was calling out Obama, people could just chalk it up to blind partisanship, right? Isn't that interesting? That once you have a change of party, all of a sudden people are shocked and they're like, oh, what do you mean? You mean you do the right thing? You have principles, right? When the right thing to do in their mind is to sell out in order to have power and to just change your position based on whatever is the prevailing winds of the day. Are you following me? Again, this is live. The odd couple pairing isn't a good sign for the commander-in-chief's ability to unite the party behind his national security decisions. Trump is increasingly isolated, especially on big foreign policy issues. That is not a surprise, said Republican strategist Alex Conant. So excuse me, folks, I do editorialize. I'm reading from Jim Antle's pieces, but you can kind of tell when I go off the beaten path here. Here's another quote from Alex Conant. He says, given the Senate's role in foreign policy, it's a weak position for him to be in. To be effective, he needs to work with his allies in the Senate, not drive them away as he's done on Saudi Arabia and now Syria. It's also evidence that some Senate Republicans see little political cost to publicly breaking with Trump on big issues. That's a really big deal. Despite their ideological differences, Graham and Paul generally have taken a similar approach to dealing with Trump. They were very anti-Trump when they ran against him, so was I. For the 2016 Republican presidential nomination, I was competing for the Libertarian one, Paul called Trump an orange-faced windbag, while Graham dubbed the businessman and reality TV star a jackass and a kook. Oh, funny. Trump repaid in kind. He gave out one guy's phone number and called the other guy a midget, recalled Republican strategist Ford O'Connell. If we nominate Trump, Graham predicted during the campaign, we will get destroyed and we will deserve it. And I'll say it in my best Lindsey Graham accent. If we nominate Trump, we will get destroyed and we will deserve it. You like that, Kyle Allen? Thanks for participating, guys. Welcome to all of the people who are joining us as we're doing this live. Got about 83 people who are listening in right now for us talking about foreign policy. Hawks versus doves. Instead, Trump was nominated and then elected president. What a weird world. Graham never made it out of the undercard debates, while Paul dropped out after a disappointing finish in the Iowa caucuses. The two then decided it was better to be a friend of the White House and to try to influence the president than to position themselves as anti-Trump gadflies. That's very important. You've got to understand how Paul and Graham went from never Trumpers to people who have cracked the Trump matrix and have his ear, said O'Connell. When you disagree with a Trump position outside of your core issues, rather than running to CNN or MSNBC or to the first available mic to share your disgust, you keep your mouth shut, period. And when you agree with the Trump position outside of your core issues, you cheer on his position louder than he does, and you sprint to a Trump-friendly media outlet and ring a cowbell as loud as you can. Oh, man. man, you know, but listen, you can say what you want, but I mean, some of these people are just fighting for survival. You know, a lot of the what the Trump administration is very bullish, right? They just they don't put up with people who disagree with him on pretty much anything. But if this is kind of like their strategy to survive. That's how the two senators became frequent golfing buddies with the president, despite frequently disagreeing with him. Frankly, I think they're both smart for that. 538's tracker actually shows Paul as one of the least reliable votes for Trump's agenda in the Senate, opposing him 27% of the time, while representing a state the president carried by nearly 30 points. All this without raising the president's ire, as during the campaign. "Rand Paul has never let me down," Trump declared last year. Sorry, I have to do this in these accents because they all have interesting accents. But so this is what President Trump said. He said, "Rand Paul has never let me down." Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska and former Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona have voted with Trump somewhat more often than Paul, yet have been highly public in their criticisms. Both of them are persona non grata in the White House. It's also one reason Flake is out of a job, declining to seek another term, fearing he'd lose the Republican primary. Now, isn't that interesting? Because Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul both criticized President Trump, just like Ben Sasse and Jeff Flake did. But after Trump was elected, Jeff Flake went into what I would call Trump derangement syndrome. Ben Sasse, I think he gets a bad rap because he is a very strong conservative, and he probably really disagrees very deeply with the president's personal behavior. And while I don't agree necessarily with social conservative views, I think Ben Sasse probably, you know, he has his own principles and morals. So if he is being critical of the president, it's probably not some, "Well, I think this is a disgusting pig, you know, get him out of my sight." Whereas with Jeff Flake, it does seem more smarmy, more smug. And Jeff Flake, before he leaves the U.S. Senate, is introducing a bill to raise taxes. This is a guy that was supposed to be the limited government conservative. So he's not even good on the issues. But now we see that the tides have turned, that elections have consequences. And what Rand Paul and Lindsey Graham have done is they have worked very hard to win over President Trump to their foreign policy positions. And I'm glad Rand Paul did this. Now, listen, Graham appeals to Trump's Jacksonian impulses to be tough and to bomb the hell out of America's enemies. Paul leans on Trump's America First instincts and their shared criticism of regime change in the Middle East, particularly the Iraq War. Okay, this is very important. In terms of foreign policy, here's where Trump and Paul agree. They believe the U.S. shouldn't have such a large footprint in the Middle East. Where he agrees with Graham is that you have to protect Israel and thwart Iran at every turn. If you took Lindsey Graham and Rand Paul and married them, they would actually be the perfect personification of Trump's position in the Middle East. Syria might be where they divorce. Graham has led a chorus of Republicans on Capitol Hill who looked on in horror as Trump decided to pull out of Syria, contemplated doing the same in Afghanistan, and parted ways with Mattis, the defense secretary Washington views as a rare source of stability inside the administration. Paul has become Trump's biggest cheerleader on Syria and is encouraging him to follow through on Afghanistan. "President Trump, I will help you any way I can, but because you're a Republican, I'm not going to ignore what I believe," Graham told reporters at a press conference. "I'm going to give you an honest evaluation. I was willing to support a Democrat if he followed sound military advice. I'm willing to fight a Republican if you don't." Sorry, I think it actually makes it more easy for you to understand if I do it in their accents, actually, when you don't have the videos to the audio. Graham also called Trump's Syria decision, quote, "Obama-like," one of the worst insults inside Trump world and a, quote, "stain on the country." "Withdrawal of this small American force in Syria would be a huge Obama-like mistake," he said, later elaborating in a statement. "While American patience in confronting radical Islam may wane, the radical Islamists' passion to kill Americans and our allies never wavers. An American withdrawal at this time would be a big win for ISIS, Iran, Bashar al-Assad of Syria and Russia," Graham added. "I fear it will lead to devastating consequences for our nation, the region, and throughout the world." By contrast, Paul applauded Trump's move. "I am happy to see a president who can declare victory and bring our troops out of a war," Paul wrote on Trump's favorite social media platform. "It's been a long time since that has happened." Trump unloaded on Graham on Twitter,
So hard to believe that Lindsey Graham would be against saving soldiers' lives and billions of dollars, the president tweeted. Why are we fighting for our enemy Syria by staying and killing ISIS for them, Russia, Iran, and other locals? Time to focus on our country and bring our youth back home where they belong.
How do you like my Trump impersonation? Is that pretty good, guys? You want to hear my Rand Paul? I don't think I have a Rand Paul. He can just sound like Austin. How about that? How about that? This could give Paul the upper hand as the two try to sway Trump on Afghanistan and other looming foreign policy decisions. When it comes to foreign policy and comparing Rand Paul to Lindsey Graham, there is no competition, said Cliff Maloney, president of the Paul-friendly organization, Young Americans for Liberty. Yeah, Liberty Cliff. Rand's realist foreign policy versus Graham's neocon nation-building crusade is one of the most important debates of our time. Graham speaks for a large number of Republicans who find Trump's recent moves alarming. What I'm trying to convince President Trump of is our presence in Afghanistan is homeland security in another fashion, the South Carolinian told CNN. I understand why you would build a wall along the southern border with other technology to prevent drugs and crime from coming into America to stem the tide of illegal immigration. I don't know why you would pull out of places like Afghanistan until the conditions warrant, because you can't build a wall between us and radical Islam. And this is the center of gravity, Afghanistan. This is where it all started. Trump has chafed under the influence of advisors he sees as slow-walking him on a number of issues, ranging from Syria to the border wall. First, he began to push them out, replacing the Secretary of State. This is what people are looking at. I'm starting to editorialize for a minute. See, this it was bothersome to me to see them losing some of these really important people that have come into the Trump White House. Some of these people that have come in, I thought were very good picks, and some of them I was actually happy to see them go. But seeing Mattis go, I thought was a problem. But if Mattis doesn't agree with this foreign policy, listen, these principles are more important than even General Mattis. I frankly believe that the president should choose someone like Jim Webb. I think that would be a good, like, sort of a unity move. But it's a very political decision and one that needs to be taken with care. Paul has tried to keep the Trump administration moving in a less interventionist direction where possible. One recent report credited him with persuading Trump to stop his hard line against Iran. Others have noted his involvement in the Syria decision. Paul supporters note that some of his positions should resonate with Trump. Rand knows how to support our brave men and women in uniform. Bring them home, Maloney said. The other senator from Kentucky is offering some resistance, however. I believe it's essential that the United States maintain and strengthen the post-World War II alliances, this is Mitch McConnell, that have been carefully built by leaders in both parties. We must also maintain a clear-eyed understanding of our friends and foes, and recognize that nations like Russia are among the latter. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said in a statement, "So I was sorry to learn that Secretary Mattis, who shares those clear principles, will soon depart the administration. But I'm particularly distressed that he is resigning due to sharp differences with the president on these and other key aspects of America's global leadership." Florida Senator and foreign policy hawk Marco Rubio warned on Fox News, "ISIS is going to reemerge as a, maybe not the way that they were before, powerful insurgency that can then carry out huge propaganda games around the world, raise money, plot, and/or inspire attacks abroad." Trump's actions have ripped open old wounds from the Republican presidential primaries. Rivals such as Graham and Rubio expressed concern that Trump would represent a departure from recent Republican foreign policy positions, while GOP leaders such as McConnell were cool to the businessman's candidacy. Trump hammered the Iraq War and questioned whether George W. Bush really kept the country safe during his 8 years in the White House. That didn't prevent Trump from winning 2016 primaries in military-heavy states like Graham's South Carolina. As president, he arrived at a detente of sorts with many of his intra-party foes. He brought in advisors like John Bolton and Nikki Haley, whose foreign policy views were seen as more conventional. And he ordered military strikes in Syria to retaliate against Assad's use of chemical weapons. From Saudi Arabia to Syria, Trump has revealed that Republican unity on his foreign policy is more fragile. The rebellion broke out into the open over Syria and Mattis, but it arguably started with the odd couple of Graham and Paul deciding that on some issues, it was better to oppose the president than to try to convince him. Very interesting, folks. Very interesting. And so, what does this mean for us? If we are on Rand Paul's side, if we come from the more non-interventionist side, if we come from the limited government wing of the Republican Party, I think it's an opportunity, because what will happen if the president continues to make those kinds of foreign policy decisions is that the neoconservatives, the Lindsey Graham types, will make common cause with the Democrats, because the Democrats are now opposing everything that that Trump is doing. Even if, you know, they claim to be anti-war or whatever, they were quiet during the Obama years. They hated George W. Bush's drones. They loved Obama's drones. But they oppose everything that President Trump does. So now the neoconservatives will be very Obama-like, right? The neoconservatives will be the true people who are Obama-like. It's an Obama-like policy. We can turn that against the neoconservatives, right? And when we look at 2020, as I have said, right now, the only candidate right now that I'm looking at that actually has some libertarian principles to them with an actual chance of winning is Donald Trump. So we probably ought to look at getting Donald Trump reelected, folks. At least I'm open to changing my mind. And go. I know that's a strong statement, but here's why. Because these foreign policy decisions are much more important than any other most of the other stupid things that we're arguing about in the world, I happen to believe that if Rand Paul gets closer and closer, tiptoeing closer and closer to Donald Trump, then these kinds of foreign policy decisions can be made, and they will be made by the president, and Rand can be a proxy as such, which means that, you know what we have to do? We have to support Rand Paul, and we have to send more people to Washington, D.C. to support Rand Paul, and we've got to donate to Rand Paul, and we've got to ensure that foreign policy, we can, you know, support foreign policy decisions that are made in this way. Because if the president is isolated, he responds to pressure. And if he is backed into a corner by the neoconservatives and the Democrats, the Republican establishment and the Democrat establishment, right, and the military-industrial complex, I mean, you never saw the Democrats become so... they never said nicer things about Donald Trump than when he bombed Syria after the chemical attacks. You remember when CNN, people were saying this is the most presidential thing that he's done, and all of a sudden they hated Trump, and all of a sudden they love him because of war? Well, these war decisions about life and death, these foreign policy decisions, I think are, if not the most important, definitely top three most important decisions that can be made. And President Trump seems to be willing to make the right decisions on this. So I think we need to support President Trump. And I think we need to support Rand Paul. And we're going to have to marginalize. As much as Lindsey Graham has come in for a little love affair with conservatives and libertarians because of how, like, his Kavanaugh hearing badassness, guys, on these foreign policy decisions, we've got to support Team Paul. It's the Jeffersonians versus the Jacksonians. Now, this was a nice extended discussion about this topic. I'm going to have a more limited discussion. However, I'll have a discussion with the author, Jim Antle. And Jim Antle writes for the Washington Examiner, which is where this piece aired, which is where I highly recommend that you go and read it and study it so that tomorrow morning you can listen to my interview on 93.9 The Eagle. I'll be hosting from 9 a.m. Central to 12 p.m. So if you want to tune in, you can either go to 93.9 The Eagle if you're the Central Missouri area, or there is, of course, listening live online on 93.9TheEagle.com. I'll, of course, post about it on my Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, fb.com/AP for Liberty. And it's the same for all these platforms. And of course, check out our new Twitch channel. I'm getting ready to drive to Columbia right now. Thank you so much for participating in this live stream if you're here on Facebook today. And let's have another good conversation tomorrow morning on the radio. All right. And Happy New Year.